This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have an interview with columnist and novelist Anna Quinlan, who is in Champaign-Urbana this week for the Biennial Conference for Women. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola for this weekend. First, today's news. The Champaign County Nursing Home is running out of options as it tries to get its operations running in the black. The County Board's Finance Committee reviewed those options last night. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Nursing home administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says they're doing all they can to cut spending and raise revenue. 27 non-nursing employees are being laid off, and a consulting firm will report later this month on proposals from an operations audit that's currently underway at the facility. But the nursing home will be asking for another emergency loan from the county, $460,000, next month. County Treasurer Dan Welch says the loan would reduce the county's general corporate fund to dangerously low levels. But Buffenbarger says the nursing home also faces danger if the loan doesn't come through.
We would be unable to continue to make payroll, probably by the end of July or first part of August.
If the loan and changes in operations don't work, the county could ask voters to approve a property tax hike for the nursing home. Committee Chairman Brendan McGinty says the county board would have to decide by August for a referendum in November. An even more drastic solution would be to sell the nursing home. But McGinty says while the county needs to know about that option, it's something he hopes they can avoid. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The next few months will be a time of decision for the Urbana Park District. In the spring and summer, staff will begin gauging citizen support for a second attempt at a tax referendum this fall. Executive Director Vicki May says February's failed tax question resulted in a series of reductions at the district. She says fewer overtime hours mean some parks won't be mowed by each coming weekend, and the season is also shorter this year at Crystal Lake Pool. Yesterday, the Park District held the first in a series of study sessions to gauge its long-term view. May says the district's board will decide whether to seek another referendum well before the September deadline to file.
One of the things that's really important is that the Park District decides what needs to be done in enough time to share that information with the citizens so they have enough time to think about it, to ask questions, to become informed, and to give feedback to the board.
May says the Park District will soon have to decide not only if it's trying for another referendum, but what rate to place it at and what services it would provide for. Some state employees say they're being forced to work too much overtime. They say it impacts their lives and the quality of their job performance. Sean Crawford has more.
From prison guards to caregivers at veterans' homes, staff shortages are being felt. Kathy Reno is a nurse at the LaSalle Veterans' Home. She says she's forced to change her work schedule on short notice, often working double shifts two or three times a week. Reno says the problem has gotten worse in the past couple of years.
When you have a day off, all you do is sleep because you're so tired, you know. It's really taken a toll on everybody, you know, and we've had a lot of people sick, and I think they're just exhausted.
Others say the extra work is not always feasible for those with small children. Refusing overtime can lead to discipline and possibly termination. The union known as AFSCME wants the issue addressed, pushing for legislation that would ban mandatory overtime. But that measure is held up in the Illinois Senate. The Blagojevich administration, which oversees the facilities, says it's trying to hire additional help, but calls it a slow process to find qualified people. A spokesperson also says in some cases, keeping headcount low enables money to be spent on other state needs. I'm Sean Crawford.
The head of the union representing most Illinois prison workers says the governor's decision to close the Pontiac Correctional Facility is short-sighted. Henry Bayer of AFSCME questions the cost savings the administration projects by sending inmates to a newer facility at the northwest Illinois town of Thompson. He also says the decision won't help solve an overcrowding problem in the prison system.
The reason that Thompson was built is because the state needed more maximum security beds. That was the reason when they built Thompson, they didn't say, well, we'll build Thompson so we can close another place. The whole notion was they needed more maximum security space. Then when they didn't have enough money, they decided not to open Thompson. So we have no objection to them opening Thompson, but if they just open up beds at Thompson and close beds at Pontiac, we're not ahead of the game. We're just back right where we were.
Baer says Illinois maximum security facilities have about one-third more inmates than they were designed to hold. He says that creates security problems. He says he's hopeful the order to close Pontiac will be reversed. The Public Works Director in Mattoon says he leaves Washington with renewed hope that the future gen plant will still locate in his community. David Wortman attended a Senate committee hearing yesterday in which Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman offered few reasons as to why the Mattoon facility's cost rose to $1.8 billion. The Department of Energy is now favoring several smaller coal-fired power plants instead of the Mattoon project. Bodman told Senator Dick Durbin the original future gen plan was scrapped to save it from itself, but he couldn't reply when asked why the project's price went up so dramatically. Wortman says the figure can be tied to inflation, so it's to be expected with a large-scale project, and he also says the timeline that would be required for the revamped future gen project simply doesn't work.
Even if we move forward with this, even if the next administration agreed and continued with this restructured idea, the project would still be set back several years because it's taken several years to get through the environmental review to get this put in place in Mattoon.
FutureGen's restructured plan calls for the new sites to be named by December, before the Bush administration leaves office. Bodman claims those sites could be operational in 7 years. Members of the state's congressional delegation believe the decision to kill the Mattoon project was politically motivated. A free education program for low-income adults is going into its third year in Champaign-Urbana. The year-long Odyssey Project enrolls up to 30 students and teaches courses in the humanities, like history, literature, and philosophy. Project coordinator John Marsh says the program's designed to help people get into college, but he says not everyone graduates.
The course is for low-income adults in the community, so these are people who are working at least one job. Most of them have families, and sometimes people lose jobs, so we're competing for their time and energy with a lot of different things going on in their lives.
Marsh says tomorrow 7 students will graduate from the program. He says students in the first batch have already joined the University of Illinois and Parkland College, among other places. Marsh says enrollment for this fall starts in the summer. He says to enroll in the Odyssey Project, students have to be at least 18 years old, live at 150% of the poverty level or lower, and be able to read. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Thousands of women flocked to the University of Illinois to join the largest women's conference in the country, the Biennial Conference for Women. It ended this week. Among them is Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and best-selling novelist Anna Quinlan. She also writes a biweekly column for Newsweek magazine, alternating with conservative commentator George Will. One of Quinlan's present prime topics is the Democratic presidential campaign, and she shared her thoughts on the current primary race with AM 580's Michael Kaliska.
I'm not real thrilled with where the race is going at this moment. I've been a big admirer of Senator Clinton's since I first met her in 1991. But the direction that she's followed in the last week or two, the knee-jerk gas tax response, the threats against Iran, those are straight out of the Republican playbook. That's not what the Democratic Party needs right now. And I wish she'd go back to being the Hillary that I so admire, and not the one who feels that the means justifies the ends.
So she's not true to herself anymore?
The last week, I think, has not been true to the best of what I know her to be capable of.
So what do you think in terms of her candidacy affecting future, you know, candidacy of women?
Oh, there's no question that she's broken through a major glass ceiling. Almost overnight, all of that stuff about women not having the fortitude to handle the job, particularly the job in times of war or incredible stress, has been completely obliterated. I think that she set some other woman up to do really well, which is what she's done her whole life. She set some other woman up to have an authentic life as first lady in the future. She has now done it for the presidency. It just doesn't look like she personally benefits as much as she might wish from the setup.
I mean, the race is not completely over, but all the, like, no signs.
Well, you know, math was never my best subject in school, but as far as I can tell, the race is over.
Well, still, like, you know, when we would look ahead, what do you think a female president would do different than a man?
There are studies, actually, that show that women politicians operate differently than male politicians do, that they tend to make politics a more open process and they tend to involve people who haven't been involved in the process before. But by that definition, Barack Obama ought to be a woman. And in fact, there is the argument that in some ways he's out-femaled Hillary. In her attempts to look tough, she ceded the field to him of looking sensitive and feeling your pain. But I don't necessarily think a woman would bring anything different to the table. I will just say this. We have to open the doors to women because we sure need the talent.
So do you think, like, Obama would be capable of dealing with all the inequalities which are still in place for women in this country in the same way that Clinton would do that?
I think Barack Obama needs to get his game face on a little bit better in terms of women's rights. I haven't gotten the sense during this campaign that that's his strongest suit. And if he does become the Democratic nominee, given the bedrock of support from women of a certain age for Senator Clinton, he's going to have to step up on that. On the other hand, I've never seen any evidence that John McCain is interested in parity for women in any way, shape, or form, so he'll have the field all to himself.
What became a little bit clear as well is that, like, you know, some of the Obama supporters and Clinton supporters were saying, we're not going to vote for the other candidate if, you know, Clinton drops out or Obama drops out. Do you think it's going to change till November if he becomes the candidate?
Yeah, I absolutely think it'll change. I mean, all of this hypothesizing is based on the notion that there will be no general election campaign. That is not the way it's going to work. And so anyone saying now, well, this is the way I feel about Obama, or this is the way I feel about McCain, we'll have months of, I hope, public debate, public speeches, campaigning, at the end of which we'll be able to judge the two head-to-head. And I think given the choices between those two candidates, I'm very hard-pressed to understand how anyone could support either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton and then go on to vote for John McCain.
Columnist Anna Quinlan's best-selling novels include Object Lessons, Blessings, and One True Thing, which was made into a Hollywood movie with Meryl Streep. She talked with AM580's Michael Kaliska. And weather forecast says it's going to be okay for tomorrow, but Sunday we'll see the return of some rain. Today's forecast in the south, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and a few isolated thunderstorms, but elsewhere partly sunny. There may be a few scattered showers or areas of drizzle here and there. Highs today from only 56 along Lake Michigan in the Chicago area to 72 in southern Illinois. The forecast high for Champaign-Urbana, 61 degrees with a couple of afternoon showers possible, intervals of clouds and sun otherwise. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight across the two states with a few evening showers and decreasing clouds overnight. The lows from 38 north to 50 far south. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny early with increasing clouds later and a few afternoon showers developing in western Illinois. Tomorrow's highs from 60 in the north to 74 far south. Saturday, mostly sunny and 70 degrees in Champaign-Urbana, but rain and thunderstorms arrived Saturday night, and then Sunday should be cloudy, windy, and cool with periods of rain and a high of only 57 for Mother's Day. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.